Peter said in Acts 2:38 on the day of Pentecost, to repent, to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those people that gladly received the word were baptized, and was added to the church that day such as should be saved, and there's about 3,000. And they watched also and saw what it meant for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they saw the evidence and the sign of that with the speaking of tongues of languages that these people did not know, as it was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit come upon them as they praised God in a heavenly language. Some people say, well, they went out and preached the gospel. No, they didn't preach the gospel. Peter preached the gospel. That language was used to express the wonderful works of God, to praise God in a language that they did not know, but others did hear and understand that language. Okay, so speaking in tongues can be a ecstatic language, such as 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of angels or of men. So it could be men's, a language known, or it could be, it was unknown to them because it's called an unknown tongue, or it could be an unknown tongue that is a heavenly language of an angel. So we're going to look at the baptism with the Holy Spirit because this is a promise that Peter said on the day of Pentecost as he preached the gospel. All of this is for you and your children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's an ongoing promise that in the last days, God would pour out a spirit and he would pour it on both men and women. They would prophesy. There would be manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming on people through prophecy. So this is for all the Lord thy God shall call, even to the Gentile people. And so the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, he found some disciples. They were actually disciples of John. And we're going to see what happens here. Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. These were disciples. They were followers of Christ, but they didn't really know. They followed through the instruction of John the Baptist, but they really didn't know the identity of Christ as being Jesus. And in verse 2 here it says, and he said unto these disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That question could be asked to a lot of people that call themselves Christians in the churches today. Have you received the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you received? Now, how do I know it's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, in John 20, Jesus breathed upon his 12 or his followers, and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But he said, go to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power on high. And Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment that will cause you to be a bold witness of Jesus and of his resurrection. It was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because John baptized with water, but he shall baptize people with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 10, when those believers received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Jews argued with Peter about it, he says, what was I that I could withstand God? That they spoke in tongues and the Spirit of God came upon them just like it did on us in the early church in Acts chapter 2. And what was I that I could withstand God? And so when they heard this, they said, then God has granted repentance unto the Gentiles and life, everlasting life. And so it was called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So really, this is what Paul is asking. He says, have you received the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why do I say it was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit we're talking about here? I'll show you. Let's read on. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. So Paul said this, he said unto them, what were you baptized? Okay, if you weren't baptized with the Holy Spirit, because that was the pattern that happened to early followers of Jesus. They repented of their sin. They put faith in Jesus. They were baptized into Jesus. They received the remission of their sins and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that hasn't happened to you, Paul is saying, what were you baptized with if you wasn't baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, we were baptized with John's baptism. Okay? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. They confessed their sin, they turned from their sin, and their sins were remitted through that baptism. Okay? But that was not Christian baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, because at that time, Jesus had not died. You know, some people say, well, man, the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized. Well, he wasn't. But you know what? Jesus hadn't died yet, had he? He was hanging there. All right. He was hanging on the cross alongside of Jesus, and Jesus hadn't died. So that thief on the cross couldn't be baptized into Jesus Christ's death, as Paul described it in Romans 6, and burial and resurrection into a new life, because he hadn't died yet. But the New Testament pattern after the cross and after Jesus' death for our sins and burial and resurrection was to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized into his death, die with Christ and rise with Christ, putting on Christ, and your sins will be remitted or sent away. Or as it said in Acts 22:16, Ananias told Paul, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It was the believer's response to give me a clear conscience, 1 Peter 3:21. And you shall receive then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is asking, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They said, no, we don't know anything about it, but we were water baptized with John's baptism, but that wasn't baptism into Christ. Christ hadn't died yet, and he hadn't been identified as Jesus being that Messiah. So in verse 4, it says, then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. John says, believe on the one. Now, I'm not the Messiah. Believe on the ones coming after me. And that one that's coming after me was identified as Christos, the anointed king. His name was Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Now, when they heard that, then Paul took them and baptized them into Jesus' death, baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. They died to their sins. They rose again into a new life. They had put on Christ now. So then Paul, in verse 6, said, laid his hands upon them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So what do we see here? We see a double baptism. It's the only place in the New Testament where there was a rebaptism. Okay? They were baptized in water by John, but that was not the baptism into Christ that was promised after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they were rebaptized. You know, there's people today that have been baptized as babies. There's people today that was baptized in their church, but they never repented of their sins. They never really put saving faith. It wasn't a wholehearted thing. It was something they went through. Okay? Do they need to be baptized again? Well, if you haven't met the requirements for baptism, like these people hadn't met the requirements of being baptized into Jesus because Jesus hadn't died yet. So if a person hasn't repented of their sins, turned from their sins to God and to his forgiveness and mercy, if they have not done that, if they have not believed upon him and entrusted their lives to him, well, then their baptism as a baby doesn't qualify them. The Bible says, repent and be baptized. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized, a baby cannot repent, and a baby cannot believe. So therefore, a baby cannot meet the qualifications for baptism. You might have went to a church camp and repeated a prayer after somebody, but you never really repented of your sins. You really never entrusted your life to Jesus. You really never turned to a new life. And you know what? You need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to meet the requirements of repentance and faith with the whole heart, then be baptized into the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Come up with a new master serving righteousness and serving Christ. So yes, there needs to be some rebaptism. And this is the only instance here of a rebaptism here in Acts 19 because these people hadn't met the original requirements yet. So when they met those requirements, there was a second baptism that was distinct from the first baptism. You see, some people teach that when you repent and baptize for the remission of your sins and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that that's automatic. But there's a distinction between being baptized into Jesus' death and his resurrection into a new life, and a difference between being empowered by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you're empowered to be a witness. All right? Both in Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem? Wherever you live. Where's Judea, the state that you live in? Where's the othermost part of the earth? All around the earth. So these are distinct experiences. All right? But they were practiced and received at one time in the early church. It's not a matter, it's so out of order today in our churches. It's not a matter of these things. It's a matter of these things. Do you have all of these things? That's what I'm trying to say. In the early New Testament church, they would have repented, been baptized, received the Holy Spirit. I mean, all at the time of saving faith, but we, through our traditions of men and our religious glasses, have separated all of these experiences out. And so that we have people that have put faith in Christ and never been baptized. We've had people that put faith in Christ and never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. All of these happened at the same time immediately in the early New Testament church. Check out the book of Acts. But in our churches, they're not. And all of these elements need to be done. So you need to repent. You need to put your saving faith in Christ. You need to be baptized for remission of your sins. You need to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit and that empowerment from on high. You need that. And if you don't have any of, if some of those issues you don't have in your life, then hey, get those issues settled. Luke 11 says he will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. So you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can receive it today. And you know what? It will manifest in your life with power, just like it did in the early disciples that followed Jesus. And it will manifest in your life with the signs of the Spirit, just like it did in the early New Testament book of Acts. They spoke in tongues or they prophesied. You say, well, I don't believe that's for everyone. Well, there is a scripture in Corinthians that says, does everyone speak in tongues? And the answer is no. It's talking about tongues in a public assembly of a church where there needs to be an interpretation. But Paul says in that same passage that personally he speaks in tongues. That is his prayer language of worship and praise and adoration to God. More than you all, you know, Paul traveled from city to city and town to town, established churches. What do you think he did when he was walking? He was praying, probably praying in the Spirit, probably praying in tongues. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. His spirit and God's spirit is praying and connecting in divine mysteries. And God is empowering him as he's going and as he's worshiping, he's going and traveling. When he gets to that town, he speaks, he goes into the synagogue. He speaks with boldness and power, even in the light of persecution and things coming against him. You need that in your life. We all need that in our life. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you've become a believer? If not, you need to receive that today. You need to, after I'm done with this teaching, to get down on your knees, to raise your hands, to cry out to God and ask him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, that the Spirit will give you an utterance and you will be able to speak in this language of the Spirit. It's amazing today that the devil has taken all of this away from the church. You know, I've seen churches that even claim to be restoration churches. Oh, we believe only what the Bible says and this and that. No, you don't. Because you've taken away from the Word of God the truths that the Word of God is teaching. And you've gotten these traditions from your seminaries, and then they've been propagated into the denominations, even though you would call it non-denominations also. And yet the Bible is so plain and so clear as to these things being valid today. Now, tomorrow I'm going to speak further about the signs of the Holy Spirit, these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people teach that these things have passed away, that they're no longer available for us today. We are going to look at the scriptures. We're not going to look at the traditions of men. We're not going to look at the non-denominational statements of faith, and we're not going to look at the denominational statements of faith. We are going to use God's holy word that is the same today and forever, that will not change, that cannot be broken, and we will show you why you should be operating in this power and why you should have these gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. And tomorrow we're going to look at that. So God bless you, and be like the Bereans, okay? Search the scriptures daily. The scriptures daily, not the commentaries that can twist and change, not your favorite teacher that will twist and change what the scripture's saying, but let's look at the scriptures, and maybe for the first time in your life, be honest and get on your knees and cry out to God and take your Bible and say, Lord, if your word says that, and if it really teaches that, I'm going to go with you. And you know what? God will meet you when you reach out to him in faith. So we'll talk more about this tomorrow. God bless you, and you have a great day.